Last week was Easter, and we celebrated the greatest event in history, the resurrection of Jesus. It is the resurrection that brought us hope, that brought us a new life, that brought us an invitation into the family, that overcame all of our mistakes and decisions of how we had treated God. And yet Jesus said, doesn't matter what you've done, I've chosen you. And that's what the resurrection is all about. But the question is, where do we go from here? And I want to, over the next few weeks, several weeks, we're going to talk on this subject, which is lift. In other words, we want to lift the bar. And we want to raise the standard of what God wants in our life. He did not rise from the dead so that we could just stay in the muck and the mire of our life, in the day-to-day frustrations and struggle of just going another day and just taking another step. But he wants to lift us. He wants to raise us to a fullness of life that we begin to experience what he was resurrected to give us. And to do that, there are several areas of our life that we need to raise the bar and we need to lift up ourselves. A good example, and it's kind of what we're talking about in this series, is back in the 60s, we all know of the stories of the space race of the United States and the world trying to reach the moon, to get to the moon, and it was something that lifted every area of our nation, of our culture. Even though getting to the moon, you know, what did that accomplish? It's not that itself was something that changed everything, but it was in the process of reaching for it that it lifted everything else. It lifted our technology. It lifted our focus. It lifted our connection with one another. It lifted every aspect of where we were as a people and as a nation. But yet to do that, one of the great movies that talks about this, and there's a lot of different movies that are really inspiring and dramatic, and you know, one of my favorite ones is Apollo 13, a great story. But one that just came out, and we enjoyed it, is one called Hidden Figures. And I don't know if many of you saw that. It is about that process of us going through this ability to make it to the moon. But it really focused on something that we never had really thought about. It was the input of these three women that history does not really talk a lot about, but yet they were critical in our success. And these three women raised the bar of our efforts so much so that it raised everyone up. And not were they only just women, but they were women of color. In a day and age where that was not really accepted. And so it's an amazing thing how these ladies and the program had to go through this transition of accepting something new, doing something that was not comfortable. Even for the men to accept the input of these ladies, it was hard. If you watch the movie, you see the struggle. And yet, thank God, there were men with enough insight to allow that. But even within their lives, they had to begin to be willing to push back through the barriers that they faced to make a difference. And as we go through this series, that's what I really want to encourage you, that if you're going to lift the bar, you need to understand there's going to be things that you're going to have to overcome in your own life. There's going to be things that are not comfortable. There are going to be things that you don't really necessarily have accepted before, but you've got to begin to look with new eyes, and you begin to lift the standard from which you have lived in the past. And we're going to look at several areas within our life that we need to do that. We need to break through those barriers and begin to raise the bar. Now, here's the great thing. It's not just about you. Because when you raise the bar, when these women broke through those barriers, I mean, that was great for their life and their career, and it advanced them. But it wasn't about them. The reason they made a movie was not because these three ladies advanced and made a career where there was no career to be made. That was not what the movie was about. The movie was about that because they did that, it affected everyone else. It raised the bar for everyone else. The success of the whole program was built upon their combined input. And it's kind of like a tree. There are roots that as the roots grow, many times you're not going to see the effect right away. The effort that you go to nurture a plant, to fertilize it and water it and prune it, to get those roots deep down, it doesn't show up right away. But eventually, it's because of your efforts at the root level that we see the whole tree blossom. And you don't just see one branch sticking up. Wouldn't that be a crazy tree? One branch just grows high. We're not looking for one branch. We're looking for the whole tree to be a fullness. And the whole tree begins to grow to the sky. You see, we as the body of Christ, we're not looking for individuals that I'm going to grow in God. I'm going to raise the bar for myself that I can reach closer to God. But it's as I'm going to raise the bar, as I lift myself up, we lift each other. We begin to grow into a body, into a church that glorifies God, that is not having one branch sticking out by itself, but that we begin to lift each other. And that's what I want to encourage you. But it starts with your effort. As you lift the bar in your life, together we all begin to see what God wants to do in us. So today, we're going to look at the first area of our life that we need to lift up. We need to begin to go another notch. We need to begin to sacrifice. We need to begin to push through. And a lot of times it's in small things. I'm not going to tell you anything that's really revolutionary. I'm sorry. I know you're looking for some great insight. It's going to be a pretty simple thing, but it's something that we need to begin to actually put into practice. And it is in the area of lifting our faith. We need to lift our faith. If we are going to see any growth in our life and in our church and in our community, people, you got to lift your faith. We've got to stop just living in the same faith that we've had forever. We've got to stop just going through the motions, but we need to lift up our faith. Are we living in a higher faith than what we have? So we're going to read a story, and I think we will take some points from it. Joshua chapter 6. We all know this story. It's the story of Jericho. And you have to understand that at this time, the nation of Israel had just spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Now, just because they had been wandering in the desert, it does not mean that they had not experienced great things from God, because in that 40 years, God did great miracles for them. God gave great victories to them. They were not inexperienced in battle, because even while they were wandering in the desert, they still had to fight other nations that came against them. And so they faced that, but then they finally had crossed the Jordan into the promised land. And here there's this great move, kind of like the resurrection of Christ. They're in the net, but now what? Immediately, they were faced with a challenge. And it's the same thing. Our faith, we can come to Christ, and we can make that decision, I'm going to follow Christ. But you need to understand that you're going to face a challenge. Just because we're saved does not mean that we're good to go for the rest of our life. Everything's going to be easy and everything's going to be right. We need to constantly address our faith and go to the next level. And so we see that as they came to the city of Jericho, this is what it says in chapter 6, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, and all the men of war going around the city once. And thus you shall do for 6 days. 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, everyone straight before him. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord. And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guards were walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, you shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you will shout. So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp, and they spent the night in camp. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord walked on, and they blew the trumpets continually, and the armed men were walking before them, and the rear guard was walking after the ark of the Lord while the trumpets blew continually. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to camp. And so they did for 6 days. On the 7th day, they rose early at the dawn of day and marched around the city in the same manner 7 times. It was only on that day that they marched around the city 7 times. And at the 7th time, when the priests had blown the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city and all that is within it shall be devoted to the Lord for destruction. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But you keep yourself from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing of destruction and bring destruction, trouble upon it. But all the silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord, and they shall go into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted, and the trumpets were blown. And as soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they captured the city. So we see a story of great faith. It seems something that we're so familiar with that it seems easy to us because we've read that story before. Story of faith, that story of what God can do if we believe in him. And a lot of times we talk about that, and we talk about just claiming what God has promised. But there are some things that they didn't just claim this, they didn't just experience this, but when you live through it, it's a little bit different than just reading a story. And we know that in our life, it's different than when we come to church and we hear the great promises of what God wants to do, but it's a little bit different when we get out in the real world. When we get up tomorrow morning and things are right before us, it's not quite so awe-inspiring. We feel like we are champions as we sit here in church, but we get up tomorrow and all of a sudden we feel like I'm not that person. What happened between those two? Well, it's the same with the children of Israel. We need to follow some principles that they face. Here's the first thing that we learn from this story. If you want to lift your faith, here's the simple thing. You've got to choose God. You've got to choose God. I know this is a simple thing. We got to make a choice. Guys, it's that simple. When we wake up in the morning, you need to choose what's going to happen that day. Are you going to choose God or are you going to choose the world? No matter what we face, we've got to choose God. They had to choose to do what Joshua told them. You know what they were facing? An army. They were facing a city of great walls that could hold out against them for a long time. And then they had to face some ridiculous commandments that Joshua said, okay, I want you to, we're going to march around the city and blow a trumpet. There you go. That's a great battle plan. But they had a choice to make. Are you going to choose to do something that seems useless, or are you going to choose a different way? We need to choose God. There's a lot of things that we face in life. There's a lot of choices that we have. There's a lot of things that we do, directions in our life that we go. And here's a simple thing. You need to raise your faith by simply choosing God. It's not a complicated thing, but are we really choosing God? Every day, are you choosing God? And when I say choosing God, are you choosing God's way? Are you choosing to do what He has showed us? The commandments that he gives us, and sometimes they make no sense to us. We read the things, you know, let's be honest, coming to church, what's the big deal? It makes no sense, okay? You know, it's good when we need something to come together or something, but to do it, that what is that difference does that make? You know, in anything, to read the Word every day, to pray, to not do the things that the rest of the world does, you know, not have sex outside of marriage, to not follow God's thing that marriage is between a man and a woman, all these things. Why does the Bible have such strange things? And yet, it's because we've got to choose which way we will go. It doesn't matter if they seem strange or whether in our mind we think there's a better way and I'm just going to do it my way. I don't really need to do it as much. We justify a lot of choices in our life. But if we're going to raise our faith, here's the thing. You got to choose God and you got to choose His way. Don't tell me how you can manipulate it. We try and make excuses. I'm going to do it partially His way, but I can do this, and that's okay because that. No. Choose God. And I mean choose God. Don't tell me why you're partially doing it. And a lot of excuses. You see, they didn't make any excuses. They didn't. When He told them, you're going to march around the city one time, you marched around one time. And they had to make a choice to do it. And it's not just what they did. We have to choose what we don't do. If we're going to choose God, Joshua said, and here's one thing. Don't make a noise. I don't want you to shout. I don't want you to talk. I want you to march quietly and then go back home. There are things that if we're going to choose God, we're going to have to not do. Even though the world tells you, you're crazy. Why not doing it? What does it hurt? And you can still believe in God, and that what does that have to... You know what? It is not up to us to decide. It is up to us to choose God, no matter what we face. You know what we might face? We might face people making fun of us. We might face sacrifice. We might face uncomfortableness. We might face just our own flesh, like, I don't want to do that. But no matter what you face, are you willing to choose God? It's a simple thing, but it's very profound. And I think each one of us know within our heart the depths of what that means. Are you choosing God? Or are we choosing other things? And now there are other things that are really good. And you might say, well, God would want me to choose this. I mean, family. What's wrong with family? There's nothing wrong with family, and God loves family. But if you choose family over God, he detests you. Because God is our choice. And when we choose God, is the only way our family is truly going to be blessed. If you really want to choose your family, then choose God. In the meantime, though, it may look, and you may struggle, and you may have to go through some things, but choose God. You know, there's other things in our life that, you know, we say, well, God wants me to enjoy life. God wants me to be happy. Isn't that the point? No, he wants you to choose him, and he'll take care of that. But if we choose that, if we choose the world, if we choose our pleasure, if we choose our advancement and our success, we're actually defaulting all of what God can give us. So what the children of Israel had to do is to do something really strange and out of the ordinary and uncomfortable, but they chose God. They chose God. We need to choose God. And you need to let the Holy Spirit speak in your life. Where are you not choosing God? Let's lift our faith. Let's lift it up. Let's take a step to a new standard. And it may be hard. And you may not understand it. But you see, here's the thing. God wouldn't be God if you understood him. God would not be God. And I thank God I can't understand him. Because I need someone that understands things a little bit better than me. I need a God who sees beyond just what I see. So are we willing to choose God when we can't understand, when it doesn't make sense, or when we're facing a giant and an enemy that we can't overcome? I'm still going to choose God. But here's the second thing. Not only did they just choose to obey and they chose God, but they stayed faithful. Here's the second thing. Again, very simple. You need to choose God, and then you got to stay faithful. You got to stay faithful no matter how long it takes. And I'm going to say this again, no matter how long it takes. We say that, yes, I'm going to stay faithful, but you have a limit. You know that there's something in your mind, there's a point at which, okay, it's not going to happen anymore. And many times our point of, I'm going to be faithful, really means for about maybe a month. Okay, now God, come on. I was faithful. He said, oh, you were faithful for a month. You know, maybe 1 year. No matter how long it takes. When God looks at faithfulness, he means faithfulness. They were faithful. You know what? The first day it was easy. The second day, okay, we're doing the same thing. The third day, okay. By the sixth day, the children of Israel are like, what's going on? This is getting ridiculous. Even though God told them it's going to be 7 days, do you think doubt started creeping in by the sixth day? That this is ridiculous. But they stayed faithful. I'm going to tell you, if you want to lift your faith, you grit your teeth and you stay faithful. That means you don't give up. That means you don't give in. You don't begin to back down. You don't begin to say, well, I'm still going to do that, but man, I've been doing that forever. Nothing's changed. You stay faithful. You see, they went around every day. They did the same thing. They stayed faithful. If we are going to lift the faith, if we are going to grow this tree, it's the faithfulness of every day without seeing any change. And yet, we keep on doing it. You see, the Word of God, the Bible says it's the faithful farmer who at the end of a long season gets a harvest. But it's because he didn't give up when the rains didn't come. You know, sometimes it would be easy to think, I'm just going to plow it under and start over again. There's not been a good, you know. But no, you trust God and you stay faithful. How many of us are really being faithful? And again, this is a simple thing that we all need to look and we know. We've been faithful until this. And then, okay, now I'll start over again. But every time you start over again, guys, it's like rebuilding that. We need to begin to have that endurance, that we stay faithful. I know myself, in running, You can train and train, and you get to that point to where, okay, I'm just going to take a break. And man, when you take a break for even a couple weeks, you don't run, it's like starting over again. You lose it so fast. You lose it way faster than you gain it. And then you regret, oh, I wish I had just kept on going. It's so much easier. It's the same thing with God. When you take a little break, it gives the opportunity for the enemy to come in, and he can destroy everything that God had done. Now, God is a merciful God, and he's gracious, and he will always rebuild that. But then we still have to pay the price and the pain of rebuilding if we would just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. I want to encourage you in that. But here's the third thing. It's actually the last point. You've got to accept the outcome. You see, here's the one thing. We choose God, and we stay faithful. And then when he moves, well, God, this is not what I wanted. You know what? When the walls fell, it said, everything that we conquered and give, you know what? Don't take anything. You don't get any of it. Wait a second. We've just overcome. Why don't we just separate all the treasure and all the things that we have accomplished and you know, divide it between all the families? That would only be fair. We are the ones that conquered this city. We think, did they really? No, God did. And yet, God does things differently than what we want. Now, we know that in the story, if you keep reading, that there was one man who didn't accept it. I don't like the way God's doing it. And so he kept a little bit of the gold and a little bit of silver himself, hid it in his tent. And because of that, thousands of people died in the next battle because he wasn't willing to accept the outcome. And yet, if we will accept the outcome no matter what you expected, God will lift us higher than what we had planned. This is a key point in that. We choose God and stay faithful, but if you don't change your expectations, in the end you become bitter and lose everything that God has done. We've got to understand that God is the one that has the plan, not us. So when we choose God, we're not just choosing God to get something that I want. Many times that's what we're doing. We're choosing God, but what you're really choosing is you just think that maybe God's the best way to get me where I want to go. That's not choosing God. And then we'll stay faithful to that as long as we see we're heading in the direction that I want. And yet that's not staying faithful to God. We've got to come to the point that I accept God. I am in your hands. There is an ultimate price, because here's the thing. You've got to understand that it's coming. We are reaching for an ultimate prize. There's an ultimate prize beyond what we can accomplish here in the next year, in the next 2 years, in our lifetime. There is an ultimate prize, which is the perfect life for all of us. You see, God has a plan to recreate this world because it's in a mess. We have ruined it. We've ruined our own lives. We've ruined everything in creation. And so God has put into a place this whole thing with Jesus to bring us all into this place where we can have a perfect life. How many want a perfect life? It's going to happen, but not here and not right now. Let God's plan work itself out. The perfect life is for all of us, and it's only the plan of God through Jesus that's going to bring that about. So we need to begin to change our expectations, that our expectations are not that I want my best life right now. I need to begin to change my expectation that I want what God's ultimate prize is, that I'm working as a team to see the ultimate prize for all of us. We are going to be that whole tree that is going to grow into a beautiful, fruit-giving, huge tree that is full of life, and I'm going to be part of that. But if you just reach for your own expectations, I want what I want, you know what? You will end up being pruned off, and you will not even get to enjoy the final purpose that God is working. So we've got to learn to accept God's outcome. So when you choose God in your life and you stay faithful, but then you still don't get the job that you want, you know what you say? Praise God, then that's part of God's plan, and I accept that. That's hard, people, but that's going to lift our faith. When you begin to accept God's outcome, I mean, we talk about little Caitlin. You know that's here. God has healed her from cancer. She's had a broken bone, got past it. Now she's broken it again. It's frustrating. What are you doing, God? You know, but yet I can only say God knows what he's doing. God is higher than me. It's hard to accept that, but are we willing to accept the outcome? Are we willing to say, God, the city fell, but I don't get any of the blessings of it? You conquered the city, but I'm going to accept that all the goods are going to go to the tabernacle, and I'm just going to praise you. Are you willing to accept the outcome that God has for your life? Because there's going to be some turns and twists and valleys that you're going to choose God and you're going to stay faithful, and yet sometimes it's still going to look like you lose. But you're not losing. That's just part of the plan. God will bring you through it. I want to read this story in closing. It's a story of R.U. Darby. And it is written by Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich. And this is what it says. An uncle of R.U. Darby was caught by the gold fever in the gold rush days. And he went west to find his fortune. He had never heard that more gold was mined in the brains of men than has ever been taken from the earth. But so he staked a claim and went to work with pick and shovel. The going was hard, but his lust for gold was definite. And after weeks of labor, he was rewarded by the discovery of the shining ore. But he needed more machinery to bring the ore to the surface. So quietly he covered up the mine that he had discovered. He retraced his footsteps to his home in Williamsburg, Maryland. And he told his relatives and a few neighbors of the strike, and they got together all the money that they could to buy the needed machinery, and they had it shipped out to Colorado. The uncle and Darby went back to work in the mine. And the first car of ore was mined and shipped to a smelter. The returns proved that they had one of the richest mines in Colorado. A few more cars of that ore would clear all their debts. And then would come the big profits afterwards. So down went the drills and up went the hopes of Darby and his uncle. Then something happened. The vein of gold disappeared. They had come to the end of the rainbow. And the pot of gold was no longer there. They drilled on. They desperately tried to pick up the vein again, all to no avail. And after months and weeks digging, and nothing there, they decided to quit. They sold the machinery to a junk man for a few $100s and took the train back home. But some junk men are not dumb. And this one wasn't. He called in a mining engineer and a geologist to look at the mine and do some calculating. The engineer and geologist advised that the project had failed because the owners did not realize and did not search out the fault lines that had cut through the property. And so they recalculated based on the displacement of the faults, and his calculations showed that the vein would be found just 3 feet from where they had stopped drilling. So the junk man drilled and 3 feet found the full vein of gold. The junk man took home millions of dollars of ore from the mine because he knew enough to seek the expert counsel before giving up. Isn't that the truth? Many times we give up on God 3 feet from everything that God wants. We choose the gold, And we're faithful to a point, but then we give up. And many times we're that short. But that's not the end of the story. You see, there's a third point. Why would, even in their failure of giving up, is that what God had for them? Was that the outcome that God had? The story goes on. It says that most of the money that went into the machinery was procured through the efforts of Darby, who was then a very young man. The money had come from relatives and neighbors because of their faith in him. And so he worked hard and he paid back every dollar of it, although he was years in doing so. But Mr. Darby, because of his loss, began to learn from that, because he heard what had happened, that they had quit 3 feet from gold. And so he began to tell himself, I'm never going to say no again. I'm not going to give up again. And it says that R.U. Darby began to use this in his life and established an insurance company. And he began to be one of the greatest salesmen because he would know how to not say no. And he would not give up. And Darby became one of the top 50 insurance companies in all the nation that was selling millions of dollars of insurance every year. And in fact, his estate nearly quadrupled all the money that that gold mine ever brought in through his insurance company. You see, here's the thing. Even in his failure, because he learned from it, and because he put it into practice in his life, God, and we don't really know if he was a godly person or whatever, but what a principle it is that if that would have not happened, if he would have not lost the gold, that's all he would have had. He would have had the gold until it ran out. He would have made millions. But because he lost it, he ended up making much more than he ever would have, and had a business that passed down through his generations. You see, sometimes things happen in our life that we think are failures. God, what are you doing? This is not, look where I have followed you, and I'm at an empty mine. And yet many times, if we will accept God's working in our life and learn from it and trust him and lift our faith and choose God and stay faithful and accept the outcomes, many times there's things that will happen that we never would have imagined. Darby would have never known that he would become a multimillionaire because of losing a mine. And some of you may never realize that you would have your perfect life by sacrificing some of the life that you have now. We hold on to our life so hard that we miss out on what God has. So I want to encourage you, not only for you, but for the whole kingdom of God, let's lift our faith. Let's choose God, no matter what we face. And then let's stay faithful, and I mean faithful, no matter how long it takes. And then let's accept God's outcome, no matter what you expect. Are you willing to say, no matter what you expect, I'm going to accept God's outcome? If you will do those three simple things, you might go through some hard times, but you will end up a champion, a winner. You will end up part of the plan of God to bring life into all of us. And maybe, like those women in Hidden Figures, you might lift all of us, that we will all succeed as we lift our faith.